Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Okay, so do you have children that love each other? Do you have children that like each other? And if they do, how did they get there? How did you get them to like each other? Because it's really not, it doesn't always come completely naturally. My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics and one of our favorite guests here on Healthy Children. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. Siblings, encouraging sibling bonds. Is this something we can consciously do as parents, or is there just that natural chemistry that's either there or it's not?
You know, there, Melanie, there are some things you can do, and there are some things that you cannot do. I have got 5 kids in the home. It's a blended family, so there are 3 natural siblings from one side, 3 natural siblings from the other, and now they're all having to deal with each other, ages 8 to 15. So I've seen this work both in a blended situation and a natural situation. And I'll say, what you cannot do is make them behave like they love each other all the time, right? You just can't. You cannot make them love each other and enjoy each other's company all the time. And that's natural, right? I mean, we got to pick our spouses, and we're not always just delighted to be around our spouses, right? Those people we went out and found. Whereas we were born with our siblings, they were chosen for us. We had no choice. Sometimes it works out great. Sometimes you happen to be in a family with the best friend of your life. And sometimes you're personality is incredibly different from one of your siblings' personalities, and it's not necessarily a natural love match. And yet, you're in the family together, you're looking at each other every day, and you can't be fighting all the time either. So setting up the sorts of boundaries and limits that allow healthy interactions between siblings is as close as you can do. And that actually, if you can accomplish that, you've done a ton.
Well, I think so, too, and I must say I give myself a pat on the back every day, Dr. Hill, because my children love each other, and when my little one is really being tough, it's her older brother who will take her into his bedroom and quiet her down and help her out with things, but I'm like that with my brothers and sisters, too, so I think that, you know, I must have learned something from my mother about that, but there is an old saying that says, God gave you siblings so that you would get to know people you wouldn't otherwise get to know. So that, you know, maybe you would never have anything in common with them or something along those lines. However, that being said, things we can actually do to get our kids together. I put my kids in the same bedroom till they were like 8 and 6. And so they had to learn to get along. What else can we do?
You know, you hit on something that you just said, which was modeling. You show your kids, and your mom showed you, how to behave in a way that demonstrated love and affection and respect, right? So the number one thing you can do to help your kids get along with each other is to display to them how people deal with each other respectfully, even when they're angry, right? And none of us is perfect as a parent. We have all flown off the handle and yelled and gone nuts, right, and had to apologize for something. But the more that you can talk to your kids with respect, and say, hey, this is how we talk to each other in this house. You're not allowed to scream. You're not allowed to curse. You're not allowed to call your brother a poopy head. That does not demonstrate respect. So that's one thing you can model, and that's one limit you can set. Another thing that you have to do, especially as they're growing, is avoid the temptation to try and micromanage every interaction between the kids. And this is very difficult for me as a parent, right? I want everybody to love on each other all the time. Oh, look, let's all be proud of your brother. He did so well. But at the same time, they may be jealous. They're like, you know, why does he get all the attention and I don't? So, you know, you can't make everybody behave the way you want them to. Instead, you can set certain limits and say, okay, you can't hit each other. You can't call each other names. I can't make you go hug and love on your brother or your sister, but I can set certain limits. You can let them work out problems together, and by doing that, they get better at working out problems. There's some
evidence. Wait, so stop there. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let them work out problems together now, because there comes a point when they're outside playing soccer, doing anything, and they start to fight. And when do you step in?
Right. You step in if somebody's getting hurt, right? You can't let them hurt each other. That's not okay. I've got two black belts in my family, by the way, among the kids, and a third one who's about to get his black belt. They can really hurt each other if they choose to. They can defend themselves, too. But yeah, you can't let somebody get hurt. You can't let somebody be insulting. We actually saw some recent research about kids who are bullied within the family. Bullying can occur between siblings, and it can be psychologically devastating to be the victim of bullying. So bullying can't be allowed. If somebody's taking somebody's stuff, breaking their sibling's stuff, hurting their sibling, that is absolutely not allowed. But when you get outside harmful behavior, beyond bullying behavior, you can say, you know what? I'm going to let you guys come up with a solution and bring it to me, or in 5 minutes, I'm going to give you a solution. And you're probably not going to like my solution as well as the one that you come up with. So, if you can solve this problem, you can go back to playing. And if you can't solve this problem, you're both going to your room for the next 30 minutes, and then I'm not going to have a problem, and you're not going to have a problem. Let me know what you want.
So it really has to be, a dictatorship. It is not a democracy in this case. Parents have to take charge. They really
you
do.
You have to take charge.
You have to take
charge.
You
have to hold on, but with a loose grip, right? You don't want to be suffocating. You don't want to be a helicopter parent. At the same time, if it's utter bedlam out there, if it's anarchy, somebody's going to get hurt. So everything in parenting comes back to this balancing act, doesn't it?
It
trying
does.
Trying to provide guidance and safety without trying to micromanage.
And you also, siblings wrestle, okay? They wrestle, they fight, as you've been talking about. But sometimes it's like, I hate to put this as an analogy, but like how puppies, they play. They play sometimes pretty rough. And as you say, you step in when someone's getting hurt. But sometimes that wrestling is just a part of growing
harm.
Up, right?
Right. Because sometimes you look and you see somebody is about to get hurt, right? Stop it then. But the general rule is if everybody's laughing, right, you're good, right? If everybody's laughing and happy, fine, you guys wrestle, you tussle. But the rule is as soon as somebody's crying or on the verge of crying, and you can hear it as a parent, right? You know when that laughter is starting to go away. That's the moment. You guys say, okay, break it up. Your brother's not enjoying that headlock anymore.
Yeah, I know exactly that part. So what do you do if you find that your kids just don't have anything in common except for similar parents?
Yeah, you can help them show each other what they're interested in. You can make time for that around the table. If you got the one who's loving Minecraft, hey, show us what you built. Show us what's in your house. Show us what defenses you put up or what you just mined, right? Let us see. And then you could say, well, we're going to go watch the ice skating performance of your sister. She's going to go to an ice skating performance and see if you can figure out the difference between a Lutz and, one of the other kinds of jumps. But, tell us what's going on. Help them show each other what they're interested in. And you said having siblings introduces you to people that you wouldn't have otherwise met. It introduces you to ideas you wouldn't have had and other experiences. You encourage openness and acceptance of what each one is into.
Well, in Modern Family, those two sisters have nothing in common, and yet they make it so funny and sweet how they learn to get along, and one of them's real popular and one of them's real smart. And so as a parent, it's a juggling act. It's a balancing act. You've given us some great advice today. Give us one last piece of advice, Dr. Hill, on encouraging sibling bonds.
I think the most important thing is to demonstrate respect yourself and then insist that the kids treat each other with respect. And if that's all that you get, you have accomplished a tremendous amount right there.
I love that. Make sure that you encourage respect, that you treat your children with respect, and that they treat each other with respect. And, if you get more, then that's just a bonus. If you get them to love each other, to like each other, that the wrestling doesn't turn scary and somebody doesn't start to cry, whatever it is, watch movies together. Try and get them interested in similar things, and you never know. You might just find your children become lifelong friends, best friends. So that's what it's all about. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.